All right, guys, come on back in. I know you just went out there. I think they've learned they don't bring the cookies out now until after the service starts, because we eat them all before you guys get here. Otherwise, so they're out there now. But we are going to continue a series here that we've been walking through all summer, and it's called A Time for Everything, and we're walking through a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a interesting book, and this passage that we're walking through is kind of a famous one. If you're my generation, you know the song, Turn, 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 and that's where that came from. To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And then it lists out all of these kind of pairs of things. There's a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to gather stones, a time to cast stones away. And so we've got these things where God is saying to us, there are times for different things. And so we see these different kind of ordered pairs a little bit, where time for this thing and then a time for the opposite thing. And that's often how they go. And so we've been walking through those one by one this summer. And every time, and different men have spoken about it, and it's been fun, but every time I do it, I like to remind us what I think the purpose of Ecclesiastes is, that book in the Bible. God wrote the Bible for you and I for all kinds of reasons, to show us how to have a relationship with Him, to show us how to interact with each other, to show us how to live life here on this earth, to talk to us, to give us perspective. There's all kinds of reasons, but God wrote the Bible to instruct you and I, to touch our souls, to touch our emotions. And one of the different books, different things in the Bible have different purposes. The book of Ecclesiastes, I think, one of the big purposes of it is this, to teach us how to live life well in a broken world. That life, the world we live in is kind of doesn't work really well, right? It all kinds of things go wrong. Things break. I was just talking to Tiffany about, you know, a tornado went through down south here not that long ago and knocks all kinds of trees down. We live in a broken world where things don't always go well. We live in a world where things, they break, there's pain, there's hurt, there's sorrow, and yet we have to live in that world. Well, how do we live well in that world? And I think that the book of Ecclesiastes, one of the purposes of it is to teach us how to live well in that broken world. But the next way we do that, and the other thing that we talk about, is that we do that by living here in light of eternity. In other words, we live here in this world. And we go, you know, we wake up in the morning and we go through the day, go to bed at night, we get older, kind of just live our life going through time here. But this is not the end. This is not the sum total of our existence. That's one of the things that the Bible does, is it helps us to understand, you know what, we are eternal things. God made us. We have a creator who's eternal. He never had a beginning. He's never going to have an end. That's very hard for us to grasp, isn't it? Eternity is, I mean, we can't quantify that, you know. How many years is eternity? Well, all of them. It just goes forever. We have a hard time with that, and yet God says that's who He is. And He made us. We had a beginning. Unlike God, who had no beginning, we had a beginning, but God says that we're going to live forever. We're eternal like He is. Our soul is eternal like He is. And if we catch that, it changes how we perceive ourselves, doesn't it? It changes how we kind of live our life here on earth. If I really think, you know what, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to leave this world. I'm not going to live physically forever on this world. We know that. We're all going to die and leave this earth. But God says, then when we leave this earth, there's another life. Something else happens. God tells us that in the Bible. If I believe that, it changes how I conduct myself here on this earth. And that's so much of how we learn to live well on this broken world, is to recognize that this world is temporary. And we do it, we walk through this earth really hand in hand with God. And that's what we talked about some last week. If you remember, we talked a lot about learning how to live our life in this earth hand in hand with God. That you can walk through this earth and God can be very close to you. This eternal God that isn't broken can walk through this life with you. That's what he says in the Bible. That's what we believe. That's what we talk about so much, that God wants us to know him. God wants us to have a relationship with him, not just someday when I leave this earth, but now, beginning now. God can walk through this earth with us. God can walk through your life with you. So, if we're going to live well in a broken world, we have to do it recognizing that God can walk through life with us. Because he can do things that we can't do. God can handle situations that I can't handle. God can create things that I can't create. God can deal with the brokenness way better than I can. So if I'm living this life with him, he helps me to live it, and he helps me to remember that, Rob, this is temporary. Someday, I'm going to take you away. Someday, I'm going to take you home. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, if your sins have been forgiven because of what Christ did, then God says, someday, I'm preparing a place for you, Jesus, and I'm back in heaven where things aren't broken, where nothing is bad, where everything is the way that it's supposed to be. I'm making a room, Rob, for you and for you, if Christ is your Savior. So if I live my life now, kind of letting God walk through life with me, he helps me deal with the situations that I can't deal with, because he's stronger and smarter and bigger and better than I am. And he gives me hope for something beyond this world. Does that make sense? You want to live life well in this broken world? It starts with, well, I'm going to do it in light of eternity. And to do that practically, you and I need to stay focused. We need to keep focused and recognize that as we live our life here, we need to more and more and more learn how to see and feel and hear God. Really learn in this life, as I kind of go through my day, as you go through your day, going to work, coming here, I don't know what you got going this afternoon, watching the Packers if you have ESPN, which I don't, which is bad. So not watching the Packers if you're me. Whatever it is that you're doing this afternoon, recognizing that God says, I'll do it with you. But I have to focus. I have to work. You have to work, don't you, to see God in this world, because we don't see him physically. We have to work a little bit. We have to focus and pay attention if we're going to feel God, feel his touch, feel his presence. We need to focus and listen and pay attention if we're going to hear God speak in this world. It's very, very, very real. You see, we tend to think that what's real is what we can, you know, that's real. And yet we know love is real, don't we? And I can't touch that. And it's real. And we know when we feel it, well, God is kind of like that. He is just as real as anything you can touch. But we have to work a little bit to see him. We have to focus and pay attention to feel him. We have to listen closely, focus and pay attention to hear him. If we do that, then we learn how to walk through this world with him, and he helps us to live life well in this broken world. Does that make sense? That's what the whole point of this is, okay? So, today, again, as we've been walking through these different ordered pairs in the book of Ecclesiastes, here's where we're up to today. There's a time to keep, it says, and a time to throw away. Now, these words, you know, when it's fun to look back at the Greek and Hebrew words, because sometimes you can get some nuances of meaning. This one, not so much. It's pretty straightforward. What it means is there's time to keep things, to retain, you know, to actually treasure is kind of one of the words that it means. So there's a time as we live in this world to retain, to keep, to treasure. There's also a time that word throw away means to cast off. So it means to discard or even to disdain. Like, I don't want this, and throw it away. There are things that are valuable that we hang on to. There are things that are not valuable that we throw away. There are things that I'm going to need, so I'm going to keep it. There are things that I don't need. In fact, they might be a hindrance, so I'm going to get rid of them. Okay? So practically what it means is pretty straightforward. But as is so often the case with the Bible, oftentimes the trick is not understanding it. It's all, okay, what do I do with it? Okay, that's what it says, but what do I do with it? How do I apply that in my life? So that's what I want to talk about here for a little bit today. Remember, thinking about how do we live well in a broken world? How do we do that? How do we walk through life in light of eternity, doing it hand in hand with God? Practically, when we talk about there's a time to keep, time to throw away, how do we do that? So we're going to ask two questions. How do I do this? How is it that I keep certain things and throw certain things away? And then the second question we're going to ask is maybe a little bit more important. Why? Why do I keep certain things? Why do I throw other things away? All right? So you with me? Ready to strap in and get going here? Everybody ready? All right. No? Tough. We're going to do it anyhow. Here we go. How do we do it? Well, there's all kinds of, there are different aspects of our life that I want to walk through, and I'm going to start with this. There's the very physical aspect of our life, and so I'm going to start with our stuff. The physical stuff that you and I have. There's a time to keep it and a time to throw it away. Here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 20, God says this, "In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil." So a wise man, it says, stores up something. And so there's a time when, hey, I need to have things. We are in the middle of preserving season at my house. Some of it, you know, I grew up where we made jelly and we just preserve. And so I've carried that over. We're in the middle of preserving season, so we spent the whole weekend canning green beans at my house. And, you know, you get... My daughter's shaking her head. She missed it all. You could have come and helped, but you didn't. You know, we'll go to the farmer's market or go to Chester's house and pick 20 pounds of green beans, snap them, can them, put them down in the pantry. Because in the wintertime, you can't get fresh green beans, can you? And so we can them so that we've got them. And so, you know, we understand that. There is a time when we have things that we want to store them. We can look into the future and say, I'm going to need this down the road, so I'm going to keep it. This has value. I'm going to need this, and so we store it up, right? That makes sense. We do that with money. I'm going to save some of my money. I'm going to have a savings account so that in the future, when I need it, I have it. And it says that a wise man does that, recognizes, you know, there are times when I need to get things and keep them. But, you know, you could say, well, why not just always keep stuff? Well, because God says, no, there's a time not to. Here in Luke, Jesus is talking to a man who has stored up lots of money. Here in Luke 18, he's talking to a rich young ruler, it says. So this is a guy who has power and wealth. He's kind of, you know, in the eyes of this world, he's got a lot of what you want. He's in control and he has lots and lots of money. But this rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and I'm going to start reading here a little bit ahead. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And so he's asking Jesus, "Hey, you know what? I got all this stuff, but still something's missing." And Jesus says this to him. You know, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." So here Jesus is saying to a person, "Hey, you know what? All this stuff that you've stored up, best thing you can do is to get rid of it. Take it and give it away to somebody else. All of it." And it's interesting. You sell everything you have and give it all away. Kind of reckless abandon here, isn't it? I mean, that's not the financial planning you tend to hear. Take everything you have, put it in a big bundle, and give it to someone else. Cast it away. Throw it away. You take your stuff and get rid of it. Wow, very different, right? And so we can't say, oh, it's always one or always another. And sometimes we want to live in the extremes, don't we? We think, okay, if I'm really going to follow God, I'm never going to have anything. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to have just the absolute bare minimum. Well, not necessarily, because there's time to store. A wise man recognizes it. Or we can say, if I'm really following Jesus, he's just going to give me everything I need, and I'm going to be wealthy and never have any lack. Well, not necessarily, because there's times when Jesus says, no, take your stuff and give it away. So, as a kind of practical thought, how do we know, or how do we manage this with our stuff? Well, I'd suggest this. When you're thinking about your physical stuff, is it time to keep it? Is it time to give it away? Is it time to keep it or time to cast it away? You ask kind of two things. Practically, am I going to need this? Is it practical? And how can I be generous? You know, those are just two real, real good things to think about when you're thinking about your stuff. Practically, do I need this? And how can I be generous? For me, in my family, one example might be clothes. I'm not a clothes guy. And so I was having this conversation with my wife the other day. I have a pair of shorts, and that's fine for me. When I need shorts, there they are. If those shorts are gone, then I need another pair. But until they're gone, I don't need another pair. Well, no, because certain shorts I wear out in the barn, certain shorts I wear to town, certain shorts. One of my pairs of shorts are peach colored, and I'm told I can't wear those in public. So there's a practicality to clothes, isn't there? You know, you can't have just one shirt because we live in a world where there's summer and there's winter, and so you need warm clothes and cool clothes. So you know, my wife and my daughters help me to be practical with my clothes. I need this, and so you need to make sure that you have the clothes that you need. But we can also be generous. My sister-in-law likes clothes and likes to shop for clothes, but she's extremely generous. And when my sweet wife goes and sees her, very often Sue will come back with all of these really, really, really nice clothes that her sister Carrie just gave to her. Here, you'd look good in this. Here, take these. I think she gives them to you guys as well. Just a real simple thing, right? Sometimes our stuff, we just got to think practically. I'm going to need that, so I'm going to get it. But we also have to think generously. Is there a need outside of me that I can take my stuff and give it away, okay? Very simple, but it's a good way for us to take this verse and apply it to our physical stuff. There's a time to keep it, a time to throw it away, okay? That's one area of our life where we can learn how to keep and how to throw away. Here's another one that maybe isn't as obvious, and that's this. We are emotional people, and we have emotions. Is there a time to keep or retain or treasure emotions and a time to cast them away, to discard certain emotions? Now, this one may seem a little bit harder. Let's just talk through this a little bit, because I think that there is a time for both when it comes to emotions. Here in the book of John, well, when you think about emotions, God made us emotional people. We have and feel emotions, and they're incredibly powerful, and they impact us, and they impact the world around us. It happened to Jesus. When he was living here, Jesus was God himself, and God is emotional. God feels emotion. He feels it strongly. When Jesus was here on earth, we see that in John chapter 11, verse 35, one of Jesus' very, very good friends died, was dead, was buried. Jesus wasn't there when he died. He came later, and his friend is buried. You know, they said, where have you laid him? He asked, come and see. They replied, and Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. And so you see their emotion being expressed. Jesus was confronted with a situation that stirred in him emotion. He was sad. He was so sad that he cried. He just wept because his friend was dead. And it was sad for him because his friend was gone. And it was sad for the people around him. He'd come and this man who had died, his sisters were weeping. And Jesus saw that, and he was moved with compassion and sorrow. See, emotions help us to respond to the world. God gave us our emotions to help us to respond to the world. Respond to the situations that come. And we need to do that. But they also, what's interesting here, it says Jesus wept. He had the emotion. But that helped Jesus to relate to the people around him. They said, look, see how he loved him. And Jesus' emotions were a way for Jesus to relate to the people around him. They recognized, you loved Lazarus. That's the man that died. We are moved by your show of emotion. Does that make sense? Our emotions are given to us to help us to respond to the world. And so we need to feel them and express them. They also help us, our emotions help us to relate to each other. You and I understand and relate to each other on an emotional level. When we're happy, that impacts the people around us. When we're sad, it impacts the people around us. When the people you love are feeling emotions, it impacts you and you relate to them. And God created us that way. And so there is a time to feel these emotions and to express them because God gave them to us for that exact purpose. But we can think sometimes that any emotion that I feel needs to be expressed in the way that it kind of is being felt. In other words, whatever emotion I feel, in whatever degree I feel it, that's what needs to come out of me. I'm not sure if that's true, because I think there's a time to say no. I'm going to almost cast that emotion out. Here in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16, it says, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. There are circumstances, we said, that emotions are given to us to help us to respond to the world. Things happen, stimulus happens to us, and we respond emotionally. But here we see, hey, some things happen to you, and you may want to express and feel a certain emotion, but you shouldn't. If you're annoyed, or if you're insulted, look at that. A prudent man overlooks an insult. Someone comes to you and says something just heartless or mean or lacking any kind of compassion. You will respond emotionally, but God says, you know what, don't let that just come out. So there are times, guys, when you can feel an emotion, but you look at it and say, you know what, that emotion is either not valid or helpful, and I need to kind of set that aside. I need to not entertain that emotion right now. And that's hard for some of us, I think. Very, very difficult, I think, for some of us. And sometimes I think the issue is not, I'm not saying that we take emotions and stuff them down. I'm saying we acknowledge, I'm feeling something, but what would be a good thing to feel and how do I express it? For example, this is an example. I think this will be helpful. It's kind of a personal one for me. Not a whole lot of fun to talk about, but my dad was a man who had some, my dad had some pretty severe limitations. Just he didn't know the Lord, and he did in many ways the best he could. And in many ways, he was a great dad. In many ways, he was not. Just to be honest, that's true. And I had myself and my three sisters grew up in that home, and there were things that Dad did, ways that Dad was, that were very difficult for me and my sisters to deal with. And they were real. And, you know, that relationship that you have with your dad is so impactful that there is no way that you can just, you know, if Dad is emotionally distant, or if Dad is just angry, or whatever it is, that's going to impact a child, and there's no way around that. But the issue is, all right, that's real. That stimulus is real, and it is going to stir an emotional response in me, but I have a choice as to what that response is and how it's expressed. For example, I look back on my relationship with my dad with a certain amount of sadness. Just sad. I wish that my dad would have been just even a little bit compassionate with me. I wish that my dad would have been a little bit vulnerable with me. I wish that my dad would have been willing to have any kind of emotional connection with me, but he was unwilling or unable. I don't know, but I had none. And I think my sisters would maybe say the same thing. And I look back on that, and it's sad to me. And I feel the sadness now. And I can look back then and recognize the sadness then. And I think that's okay. I think I need to feel that and to grieve that. But I am tempted to be bitter and to be angry and to be filled with hate. And I can make a choice, guys, to take those emotions and set them aside. I will not go there. Won't help. I can feel sad and not feel bitter. Does that make sense? I can take the one, I can keep the one and discard the other. And I can do that. It's difficult, more difficult for some than others, but we can do that. And I think God helps us to understand that there's a time for that. Okay? So when you're thinking about emotions, how do we keep them or cast them away? Well, I think we need to be soft. We need to recognize those emotions are real. We need to be soft to them, not try to just pretend they're not there, not try to stuff them down. Let them affect us, but we also need to be aware. What is this doing to me? What is this doing to the people around me? And the impact of my emotions has to change how I feel and express them. So there are times that I keep them, emotions that I keep, times that I cast them away, emotions that I will not entertain. Okay? We can keep emotions, we can throw emotions away. God made us emotional people, and so we have to do that. We're going to run into situations where we're faced with that choice. Here's another area of life. We talked about our stuff. We talked about our emotions. Here's another one, our thoughts, what we think about. And this one is maybe a little bit more in my wheelhouse. I'm a thinker, and I think a lot. I'm an internal processor, so I'm always thinking about something. Some of us don't think about anything, and that's okay. We're all made differently. But with our thoughts, I think there's a time to keep them, a time to treasure them, a time to retain them, and certain thoughts that we cast aside, we say, no, I'm not going to go here. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, I like this verse. It's written to help us to know how to live life well here in this earth. He says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I like that. That's very understandable. Look, there's all these things you can think about, but you got to sort through your thoughts and look for these kind of thoughts and keep them. Hang on to them. Is this a noble thought? Is it true? Is it lovely? Is it pure? Is it excellent? Is it praiseworthy? Those are the kind of thoughts that I'm going to look through and sort through and say, that's a good one, I'm going to keep it. I said that we're canning beans at my house. Well, you get this mound of green beans sitting on the table, and some are better than others. You know, some of them are just too big and knobby, and it's like eating a piece of wood. So you take that one, and you throw it away. That one goes in the pig bucket. Some of them are flat. Yeah. I don't know why that is, but some of them, you bean folks know what I'm talking about. They're just flat and thin, and it's like eating paper. So, oh, you throw that one away, too. Some of them are just rotten. You know, the bean is squishy and gross. And so you're sorting through, and what are you doing? You're picking out the good ones, and I'm keeping the good ones, and I'm throwing away the bad ones. Understand, just because you think something doesn't mean it's good. Just because something goes through your head doesn't mean you should keep it and entertain it, or much less say it. We need to be a little bit more cognizant of what's going through our head. And Paul tells us here, the guy that wrote this says, hey, sort through your thoughts and recognize some of them you want to keep. Think about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. By the same token, there's some thoughts that we want to get rid of. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, this is the same guy speaking. Paul says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, the thought there, if you take something captive, what do you do it for? to get it out of circulation, right? You know, that's what jails are for. This person, if they've done something, they need to be taken out of circulation because they're a detriment to society. So we take them out and we make them captive. You have thoughts going through your head that are a detriment to your society, to what's going on inside of you. You need to take them captive. This happens to all of us. And again, I'll share an example that it may seem like I'm trying to be funny. I'm not. It's embarrassing to say this, but I'm going to be real honest. The thoughts that go through my head when I'm driving down the road and people are just driving next to me, I find myself just scoffing. You are a terrible driver, whoever you are. And this is the phrase, you drive like an old woman. That is disgusting on so many levels. It's disparaging to old women. My mom is an old woman. And you don't say that. It's disparaging to that person. I have no reason to say it other than you happen to be in the space I wanted to be in. And yet my mind is just that's going through. I've learned not to be angry, but I'm still, you drive like an idiot. I don't need that thought. That thought doesn't help me. That thought isn't true, probably. It's not noble. It's not pure. It's not excellent. There ain't anything about that thought that does me any good. So what I got to do, I got to capture that thought and roll down the window and pitch it out there, roll back of the window up. It's like when my kids were little, I would get into the car and I would smell this terrible smell. And I would know that somewhere in the depths of the van, there was an old apple core, or half a banana, or a bowl of Cheerios that has been simmering in the sun. And it stinks. And I have to dig through there and find it and throw it away. There are thoughts going through your head that just stink. They just stink up your mind. They stink up your life. You can't redeem them. You take them and you throw them away. Just because you think something doesn't mean you should entertain it. Some thoughts you keep, some thoughts you don't. I think we have to be diligent with our thoughts and cognizant of what they really are. Think about what you're thinking about is kind of what we have to do. Because some of them you keep, some of them you throw away. Now, we've talked about our stuff, our emotions, our thoughts, kind of what we look for, maybe what I throw away, maybe what I keep. I want to spend some time answering this question. Why? Why do I keep some? What difference does it make whether I'm thinking poorly about the guy next to me? What difference does it make whether I have two pairs of shorts or 50 pairs of shorts? What difference does it make whether I'm feeling and expressing anger or bitterness? Why is this an issue? And this, guys, is critical, I think. Why is this an issue? Why do we even spend time thinking about this? Well, remember what I started with? I said if you want to live life well in this broken world, you have to do it in light of eternity. In other words, you have to learn how to walk through this life hand in hand with God. We talked about that last week. It's good for us to be near God. He holds us by our right hand, but we have to focus. We have to think about it because it won't just happen naturally. We have to pay attention. If I'm going to walk through this life hand in hand with God, if I'm going to learn how to see, feel, and hear God, I have to work at it. I have to focus at it. All of these things that we talked about, the stuff that we have, the emotions that we feel, the thoughts that we think, can either help us do this or they can hinder us from doing this. Our thoughts, our stuff, our emotions can either direct us to a closer relationship with God or they can separate us from a relationship with God. If you want to live life well, you draw closer and closer to God. That's what I'm saying here. I think that's what God is saying. All of these things are going to do one of two things. They're either going to draw you closer to God, your stuff, your emotions, your thoughts, They're going to help you to focus on God. They're going to help you to see, feel, and hear God. Or they're going to hinder you. They're going to harm you. They're going to make it more difficult for you to see, feel, and hear God. Your stuff, the things that you have. When you sit down to a meal, when you look at your clothes, do they help you when you see them? Does it lift your eyes to the Creator, the one who made it, the provider, the one who gave it to you? Do you see the things that you have and say, God, you've given these to me? Does your gaze bounce off of the things, the stuff around you, and focus in on the one who made it, on the one who gave it to you? Or does it just pile up and get in the way so you can't see? All you see is your things. It's going to do one or the other. Does the stuff that you have direct your gaze to the Lord? Or does it direct your gaze against? If it directs your gaze toward the Lord, you can probably keep it. If it directs your gaze away from Him, throw it away. It's time to throw it away. Your emotions, the things that you feel, do they draw your heart to Jesus' heart? When you're sad, do you feel His comfort? When you're angry, do you feel His instruction, His help? When you're excited, do you feel His laughter, His joy with you? Do your emotions draw your heart closer to the heart of Jesus? Or do your emotions build a wall around your heart? And it just becomes what I'm feeling. It just becomes what's going on inside of me. Does it isolate you? Do they isolate you from the people around you, but more importantly, from your friend, your lover, Jesus? Does His comfort, do you feel that in your hard times? His joy, do you feel that as you walk through this life? Do your emotions draw your heart closer to Jesus? Or do they build a wall around your own heart? If they're drawing you closer to Jesus, you might want to keep them. If your emotions are making you look inward and sink deeper and deeper in, building a wall, you might want to throw them away. Because the issue here is not what you're feeling. The issue is, am I walking through this broken world hand in hand with Jesus in all of the ways that God created me? Your thoughts. Do the things you think about help you to think about God and like God? Do my thoughts think about God? Gosh, He's here. Gosh, He's speaking to me. Gosh, He's made this world. Do my thoughts kind of focus in on Him, and do they help me to think like Him? Are my thoughts becoming more and more and more like the way that He thinks? Or are my thoughts leading me to dark and foolish places? Where are my thoughts leading me? You know, your thoughts will lead you somewhere. If you don't believe that, you go on a walk this afternoon. You spend a half hour just walking down, not talking to anyone, just walking. Jot down what you're thinking about when you start. When you get to the end, jot down what you're thinking about. Your thoughts will lead you somewhere. Where are your thoughts leading you? Are you thinking about God? Are you thinking like God? Or are your thoughts leading you to dark and foolish places? If your thoughts are directing you to the Lord, you might want to keep them. If your thoughts are leading you to dark and foolish and sad and angry places, you might want to throw them away. There's a couple of verses that say this. Philippians 3, verse 8. This is Paul speaking. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. You see, that's what he's saying. If this draws me closer to God, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to retain it because it's valuable. It's necessary. I have to have it. If it's not drawing me closer to Christ, it's rubbish. I'm going to throw it away. Be that my stuff, my emotions, my thoughts, whatever. Is it drawing me closer, knowing Jesus more, feeling Him, seeing Him, hearing Him in this earth? I'll keep it. I'll retain it because that's valuable. That's what I want. If it's not, it's rubbish. I'm throwing it away. I'm getting rid of it. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Same thing. There's stuff that just keeps me from drawing closer to the Lord. I'm going to cast it off. If it's a hindrance or a sin, I'm going to throw it away. So, the question is, in all of these things, we said there's a time for everything. Today we're saying there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. What time is it? What time is it for you right now? Well, here's what time it is. It's the next verse in Hebrews 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know what time it is? It's time for you and I to look around us at the life we live here. And in every aspect of our life, our physical life, our emotional life, our thought life, our relationships, we could have gone there. Say, is this helping me to fix my eyes on Jesus? Am I seeing God more clearly? Am I hearing him more directly? Am I feeling him more powerfully or not? If I am, I'll keep it. If I'm not, I'm going to cast it away because it's an old banana under the seat of my life. And I'm going to get rid of it. Father, help us to know, as men and women, help us to know what time it is. Help us, God, to be wise and to recognize that everything we do has an impact. What we think, what we handle, what we feel, it impacts us. I just pray, God, that our desire, and really this is where it starts, help us to desire more than anything else to see you, to feel you, to hear you, to really walk through this life with you. This world is broken. I'm broken. But you're not. And you can do things that I can't do. And you can change circumstances that I can't change. And you can handle things that I can't handle. And you know what's coming. And I want to live my life holding your hand. Help me to cast aside the things that don't draw me close to you, to cling to the things that draw me close to you. I pray that for every one of us, Lord. Help us to know what that means, what that looks like. Thanks that that's your desire. You want that even more than we ever could. Help us to get it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.